I am Natin Dlovu, and this is TCS Plus, brought to you today by First Distribution. When it comes to cybersecurity, prevention is always better than cure. However, organizations have to prepare for the worst-case scenario where their systems are breached by cybercriminals. This is the second in a series of three podcasts on cyber crises. The first centered on defining what a cyber crisis is and the different ways cyber criminals can exploit an organization. In this episode, Kejin Pillay, portfolio manager for Microsoft at First Distribution, discusses the strategies and tools organizations use to craft an effective crisis response plan. Kejin, it's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Kejin, could we start maybe by recapping, right, and defining what a cyber crisis is?
Okay. So basically, a cyber crisis is when an organization is held ransom of their data. It's no longer a technical issue. It's past the point of IT, and it's where it's affecting the business operation, the business continuity, where the business cannot continue. It's stagnant, and now the business is obviously losing money. Mm. So it's a financial implication on a company. That's what a cyber crisis basically entails.
All right. And the business must now respond to this in a way that is positive, in a way that makes sure that operations continue, etc. What are the elements of an effective crisis response plan?
So they obviously need to just check first. First point of check is what is the effects of the cyber crisis?
Okay.
Like, what do these cyber criminals actually want? So often, and I don't know if you've probably heard these horror stories where cyber criminals have held on to data and now they're requesting Bitcoin. So now you need to get your data back by paying the cyber criminals in Bitcoin. Yes. And generally, it's like one Bitcoin or two Bitcoin. And I mean, that's millions, right? Yes. Now, some IT companies, obviously, when it's past the point of them and the IT admin in that organization cannot detect or even pick up like where the attack has actually come from or what the effect of the attack is on the organization, they would get in the experts. And the experts will be the cybersecurity teams that are basically outsourced. And these teams would obviously jump into the organization and look at where the attack has come from. Who was the person that, you know, for example, maybe clicked on an email or downloaded a specific document or accessed one of your free versions of your email. So let's say a Gmail or Outlook, you know, using your work laptop and domain. So those are the kind of things that the cybersecurity teams will come in and kind of look for as to where the attack actually came from. And then from there, once you understand it, you got to then look at how to contain it. So containing it is, yes, maybe you can negotiate with the cyber criminals, or you can try and get them or kick them out of the organization profile. Because sometimes what happens is the cyber criminals penetrate the organization and they stay within the organization and they do not release the data until that is done.
Okay.
So some cyber companies who are obviously the experts at this are clever enough to kind of kick the cyber attackers out of the organization so that they can obviously still keep the data and then put the perimeter or secure the perimeter of their data.
And when this is happening, I mean, you mentioned now there are external stakeholders. Are there other stakeholders? I'm sure there are. Maybe you get law enforcement involved, but who else is in this ecosystem?
So I guess it depends on the kind of customer as well, right? I mean, you would get law enforcement involved if it's, you know, a high-ranked customer, a customer that has information that belongs to the public. So like you and me, then you would get law enforcement involved. That would then mean that you as a company are violating the POPI Act. So your ID number is out there. Your banking details are out there. Now, when you're holding that kind of information as a customer that belongs to the public, then it becomes a problem because that's when the law enforcement will get involved.
Okay. So, I mean, you as FD work with Microsoft tools.
Yes.
What tools do you then use to effect or... Okay, let's start all over with that. So you as First Distribution work with Microsoft tools.
Yes.
Which tools do you use in resolving a crisis?
So one of the things that we use and we absolutely love is Microsoft Defender. So what Microsoft Defender does, as the name suggests, it actually defends your environment, right? It makes your IT admin a lot more smarter. So what Defender does in a very smart way is that it will detect a threat, it will analyze what the threat is, and it will obviously send out a response to fix this threat. So, simple example. I'm sitting here with you today, right? In the next 30 minutes, my IT admin will see me log in from Kenya. And he's probably thinking, like, how is this happening? Mm. So now Defender, when you've got it set up correctly in your environment, would obviously pick up and common sense, Kedge was here 30 minutes ago. How is she all of a sudden in Kenya? Is it possible, right? Mm. So somebody obviously has breached something or has a password and a login details of mine to get into my systems.
Yes.
So what would then happen is once Defender has investigated the threat, it would then automatically resolve it. And how it would resolve it is that it will immediately ask me to reset my password. It will cancel out all the passwords that I've currently got and immediately ask me to reset my password. And that's basically what Defender does. So it's a very, very smart tool to have. It secures everything from your emails to your data to everything that sits in your organization as a user. Mm. One of the other things that we've got is Sentinel. Mm. So Sentinel is a SIEM tool, right? And it uses machine learning to kind of surface all of the high priority incidents that are happening in your organization. So it gives you a really niche dashboard. It shows you exactly what is happening in real time. It shows you all of the responses. And it shows you things that are about to happen even before it happens. Mm. So that's how at the level of machine learning that it kind of picks up. Mm. So it's quite a
sentient,
intelligent tool.
Yes. All right. But I mean, you've spoken about the technical aspects,
yeah,
and that's great. But once you're in a crisis, it's people that are going to have to execute.
100%.
And people panic and they have all sorts of shortcomings. Does this mean companies must engage in fire drills? What must they do to ensure that their people know what to do?
Yep.
In the worst case scenario.
So one of the things that we can do is attack simulation training. So attack simulation training is training the user at that level of, you know, not many people are so smart with technology. Not many people are going to, you know, look at an attachment on an email and say, hey, that attachment doesn't look right. Or that email that's coming from a specific person within the organization doesn't look right. Mm. So getting around these cyber attacks is very important for us to train users at a user level. Mm. You have to teach users what to look out for, what looks malicious, whether it's in your organization or even in your day-to-day lives. Mm. Because let's think about it. On your cell phone, you've probably got your company's Outlook. Mm. You've got Teams on your cell phone. Mm. I mean, you work in wherever you go, right? Mm. And that's the power of 365. Mm. Now, when you have those kind of things, you also have to be very pertinent as a user as to what you click on, let's say in Facebook, in TikTok. You're using all of those kind of platforms, but also bear in mind that your company's information is sitting on your cell phone. Mm. So that's also a way for cyber criminals to get into it. So if you click on a malicious link in Facebook or TikTok, they can use that link to get into your company's data. And again, you need to train your users on what is malicious and what is not.
Okay. And how to respond if they've done something wrong.
100%.
Okay. I think in the first episode we touched on this, how the cyber criminals are using AI tools to make their attacks more effective.
Yeah.
But surely AI can be used on the good team
side
as well. Yes. You know, so how are organizations using AI tools to also defend themselves better?
So one of the things that we use is Copilot for Security. So Copilot is Microsoft's AI tool. And Copilot for Security basically sits within Microsoft's security, right? Mm-hmm. And it allows you to triage and pick up responses, detect what is going on even before the human mind can even do so. So Copilot for Security is a very, very powerful tool. It is a pay-as-you-use model. It is a consumption-based model. But when it sits on things like Defender and Sentinel, like I've mentioned before, it can pick up things faster than your IT admin can even pick up. So it will obviously let the IT admin know that, hey, there's an issue. I've picked it up. Mm-hmm. I've triaged it. I've found the issue. And this is what I've done. Mm-hmm. And that's how AI is basically used for good. Mm-hmm. So if companies are looking for a smarter tool in their organization, then Copilot for Security is one of those.
Okay. Talking about recommendations, what other advice do you have for companies looking to strengthen their cybersecurity posture?
So I think, you know, one of the things that I've always picked up in the last 10, 11 years now that I've doing Microsoft is companies generally go towards products that are cheaper, right? And it's not always about cheap. It's what is going to bring you the best value at the end of the day. Because if you are using a cheap product, then when you have a cyber attack, that is when you're going to sit and think, oh, you know, maybe it wasn't the best decision. Mm-hmm. So it's always about, you know, going with a vendor that's a proper support for you, that's going to handhold you, you know, teach you all the right things, show you the correct recommendations. I mean, it doesn't have to be Microsoft. You probably have other third-party vendors in your organization. But it's about using it in the correct way. And it's about building that relationship with whoever you are buying this product from, right? So my advice would be, go back to your organization, take a look at your security posture, see what tools that you have. You know, are they working for you? So kind of do an exercise and see, you know, what is this tools doing for me? How much am I paying for it? There's probably things that you have within a Microsoft suite that you already are paying for. So many a times I find that companies have Microsoft subscriptions and they don't fully utilize the security capabilities that are within it. Now, you're paying for it, but you're not using it. It's like you're paying for a gym contract, but you're not going to gym, right? So it's exactly like that. So you're paying for a subscription, go and look at the features. And if you don't understand it, that is what we are here for. So we can actually help you do a license optimization on your organization and help you unlock all of those features that you're paying for so that you can see the best return on investment at the end of the day. So my advice is, take a look at your organization, see what you have. And if you don't know how to do that exercise, then just shout to us. We can assist you with the cybersecurity assessment.
Okay. Kijin, thank you once again for your valuable insights.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. That is Kijin Pillay. She is a Microsoft Portfolio Manager at First Distribution.